101, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Anna Mateo, Dan Friedel, and John Russell. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Anna Mateo.
Tiny homes are being used for housing in costly areas of the United States. Others have joined the tiny house movement to live a simpler life. In Los Angeles, California, tiny homes are now being used as temporary shelters for people like Amy Skinner. She has been homeless for 3 years. In early February, Skinner received the key to one of the 39 tiny homes on Chandler Street. She and her partner, John Golka, moved into the 6-square-meter space with their little dog, Smalls. The tiny home has 4 windows, 2 beds, places for belongings, and an air conditioner. Being able to lock the door and have a place to sleep is huge, said Skinner, who is 48 years old. She added, "That's so hard to do when you're on the streets." The tiny home village also has community space, including tables where people can eat, and an area for toilets and showers. The project was developed and paid for by the City of Los Angeles. It is part of an emergency effort to solve the worsening homelessness crisis. Similar projects went up in other California cities, including San Jose and Sacramento, and also across the United States, in Seattle, Washington, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Des Moines, Iowa. In 2020, there were about 66,400 homeless people in Los Angeles County. That number is an increase of more than 12% from a year earlier. More than 150,000 people are homeless across the state of California. The pandemic has forced even more people onto the streets. Homeless shelters had to turn away people to maintain social distancing rules. A 2016 measure to pay for homeless housing has not started. So officials began looking for ways to solve the problem. City officials selected the land on Chandler Street for the tiny home village because it could not be used for anything else. The officials had to promise nearby neighbors that the village would be safe and clean. Ken Kraft is head of the nonprofit Hope of the Valley, which operates Chandler Street Village. He asked worried neighbors if they would rather have the tents or the tiny homes on the land. He said the village offers services that can help people out of homelessness. They include mental health treatment, legal aid, and help with job searches. I'm Anna Mateo.
In Japan,
some workers who regularly drink beer at the end of the day are giving their livers a rest and turning to beer that is free or nearly free of alcohol. Because of the coronavirus health crisis, many Japanese people are not doing the things they used to do after work. Parts of Japan, including Tokyo, are under rules that restrict people's movement until March 21st. So, while people in Japan still like to drink beer, many are not doing it as often. They are also trying kinds of beer that have very little alcohol or none at all. Tadasu Masuda lives in Kobe, Japan. He is trying low-alcohol beers as a way to give his liver a day off. The liver is the organ that works to remove alcohol from the body. Masuda said he is paying more attention to his health now that he is older. Asahi is a large beverage company in Japan. It expects to make 20% more money from low-alcohol beer in 2021 compared to last year. Kirin is another company that makes things to drink. It saw sales grow by 10% last year and expects another increase this year. The increase in sales of non-alcoholic beer might be the result of many Japanese people spending more time at home. In the past, they would order beers together while going out. More people are trying to stay healthy as well. Also, fewer people are drinking beer as wine and other alcoholic drinks become more popular. But the new interest in low-alcohol beer has helped the beverage industry in Japan. In recent years, many companies started making non-alcoholic beers. They caught on in places like Australia and Germany, but not in Japan until this year. The chief of Suntory, another large beverage company in Japan, said people only responded to non-alcoholic beer advertising when the product started to taste better. Many people agree that today's non-alcoholic beers taste better than they used to. Asahi's Beery has very little alcohol, but it is supposed to have more taste than earlier versions of low-alcohol beer because of a new way of removing the alcohol. The company plans to offer more low-alcohol beers in coming years. I'm Dan Friedel.
In a recent Everyday Grammar, we briefly talked about a video that makes fun of the difference between two terms, y'all and you guys. It goes like this.
Hey, you guys! What are you all looking at?
In today's report, we will explore this issue in more detail. You will learn a little about different areas of America and how speakers in these areas sometimes use different pronouns in everyday speech. You can think of today's report as a tour of the United States. But first, let's explore some important ideas and terms.
In English grammar, we often describe pronouns in terms of person and number. The person can be first, second, or third. The number can be singular or plural. second-person pronouns are a little unusual. The second-person singular pronoun is the same as the second-person plural pronoun. They are both you. So, a person could say, "How are you?" to one person or to a group of people. In everyday speech, Americans sometimes use second-person plural pronouns that are not standard. These pronouns let the speaker show that they are speaking to several people. Now, let's start with our trip.
Pennsylvania is the first stop on our tour of the United States. Let's listen to a man from the city of Pittsburgh. He is giving an example of how some people near there speak.
Like if I was explaining to Yins like what I do on Sundays, what my dad does.
Note that the speaker used the term Yins. It is a second-person plural pronoun that is used mainly in western Pennsylvania. Yins is not standard American English, but it does play an important part in the sentence. It lets speakers show they are speaking to more than one person.
New York is the second stop on our trip around the U.S. Consider these lines from A Bronx Tale, a crime movie about an Italian-American boy growing up in the Bronx, New York. The speaker is telling a group of men that they cannot leave his business. They have insulted him, and he wants to fight them.
Now you just can't leave.
I will never forget the look on their faces. All eight of them. Their faces dropped.
Speakers in other parts of the U.S. use the word use as well, but such usage is growing rarer. A story in the Chicago Tribune suggests that use is mainly used among older people in some parts of large cities, Philadelphia, Chicago, St. Louis, and Boston, among others. The story also notes that it is sometimes heard in the mining communities of Michigan.
Our third stop is Washington, D.C. Let's listen to former President Barack Obama say the following words to reporters.
I mean, part of the challenge here is that this town, let's face it, you guys are pretty impatient.
You guys is the second-person plural pronoun that Obama used. You guys is quite common throughout the country, but mostly in the North, West, and Midwest. It is also probably more common in cities.
Our fourth and final stop is Texas. Let's listen to comedian Jerry Corley talk about language differences in the United States.
You go to certain parts of the country, you'll have pockets of the population that will say y'all. But in Texas, everybody says y'all.
Y'all is popular in Texas and many other places across America, mainly in the South. It is probably more common in rural areas, too.
Y'all and you guys are the two most commonly used second-person plural pronouns in the United States. They are acceptable in many kinds of everyday speech. Y'all and you guys are also used in everyday kinds of writing, emails between friends, text messages, and so on. They are generally not used in official or formal writing, business agreements, legal documents, academic papers, and so on. At the beginning of this report, we suggested that this video made fun of the difference between y'all and you guys.
Hey, you guys! What are you all looking at?
Now you know that the video is making fun of differences between people in the U.S. In areas where many people use y'all as a second-person plural pronoun, you guys sounds out of place. Understanding how different second-person pronouns are used in the U.S. can be useful for you. You can have an idea of what Americans mean when they are speaking. And if you hear you guys, y'all, yous, or yins, you might have an idea of where the speaker comes from within the United States. I'm John Russell.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. Today we continue the story of America's 36th president, Lyndon Baines Johnson. Johnson was vice president to John F. Kennedy. Kennedy was murdered in Dallas in November of 1963. Johnson served the last 14 months of the president's term. Then he won a full term of his own, starting in January 1965. Most of Johnson's time and energy would be taken up by the war in Vietnam. By early 1964, America had about 17,000 troops in Vietnam. The troops were there to advise and train the South Vietnamese military. Vietnam had gained its independence from France in 1954. The country was divided into North and South. The North had a communist government led by Ho Chi Minh. The South had an anti-communist government led by Ngo Dinh Diem. In 1957, communist rebels, the Viet Cong, launched a violent campaign in the South. They were supported by the government of North Vietnam and later by North Vietnamese troops. Their goal was to overthrow the government in the South. President Johnson believed that the United States had to support South Vietnam. Many Americans agreed. They believed that without American help, South Vietnam would become communist. There were concerns about the so-called domino theory, that if South Vietnam fell, other Southeast Asian countries would also fall to communists. As Johnson began his full term, his military advisors told him the communists were losing the war. They told him that North Vietnamese troops and Viet Cong forces would soon stop fighting. On February 6, 1965, however, the Viet Cong attacked American camps at Pleiku and Kinon. The Johnson administration immediately ordered airstrikes against military targets in the North. Some observers in the United States questioned the administration's policy. James Reston of the New York Times, for example, said President Johnson was carrying out an undeclared war in Vietnam. In March 1965, the first American combat troops arrived in South Vietnam. Congress supported the president's actions at that time. However, the number of Americans who opposed the war began to grow. These people said it was a civil war. They said the United States had no right or reason to intervene. For 6 days in May, the United States halted bombing of North Vietnam. The administration hoped this would help get the North Vietnamese government to begin negotiations. The North refused, and the United States began to build up its forces in the South. By July, 125,000 Americans were fighting in Vietnam. Some Americans became angry. Anti-war demonstrations took place in San Francisco and Chicago. More and more students began to protest. They wanted the war to end quickly. Some people thought the anti-war demonstrations were only delaying peace in Vietnam. James Reston believed the demonstrations would make Ho Chi Minh think America did not support its troops. And that, he said, would only make him continue the war. In December of 1965, the United States again halted its air campaign against North Vietnam. Again, it invited the North Vietnamese government to negotiate an end to the fighting. And again, the North refused. Ho Chi Minh's conditions for peace were firm. He demanded an end to the bombing and a complete American withdrawal. Withdrawal would mean defeat for the South. It would mean that all of Vietnam would become communist. President Johnson would not accept these terms, so he offered his own proposals. The most important was an immediate ceasefire. Neither side would compromise, however, and the fighting went on. In 1966, President Johnson renewed the bombing in North Vietnam. He also increased the number of American troops in South Vietnam. ...1966 was also a year for congressional elections. The opposition Republican Party generally supported the war efforts of Lyndon Johnson, who was a Democrat. But it criticized him and other Democrats for economic problems connected to the war. The war cost $2 billion every month. The price of many goods in the United States began to rise. The value of the dollar began to drop. Americans faced inflation and then a recession. To answer the criticism, administration officials said progress was being made in Vietnam, but some Americans began to suspect China was not telling the truth about the war. Opposition to the war led to bigger and bigger demonstrations. In July 1967, just over half the people questioned for opinion surveys said they did not approve of the president's policies. But most Americans believed that Johnson would run again for president the next year. Johnson strongly defended the use of American troops in Vietnam. In a speech to a group of lawmakers, he said, "Since World War II, this nation has met and has mastered many challenges. Challenges in Greece and Turkey, in Berlin, in Korea, in Cuba. We met them because brave men were willing to risk their lives for their nation's security. And braver men have never lived than those who carry our colors in Vietnam at this very hour." The price of these efforts, of course, has been heavy. But the price of not having made them at all, not having seen them through, in my judgment, would have been vastly greater. Then came Tet, the Vietnamese Lunar New Year, in January 1968. The communists launched a major military campaign. They attacked 31 of the 44 provinces of South Vietnam. They also struck at the American embassy in the capital, Saigon.
Military leads back into the compound of the $2.5 million embassy complex at dawn. Before that, a platoon of Viet Cong were in control. The communist raiders never got into the main chancery building. A handful of Marines had it locked and kept them out. But the raiders were everywhere else.
CBS News reporter George Sievertson described more of the fighting in Saigon and how it affected civilians in a poor part of the city.
This neighborhood is called the chessboard because of the maze of alleys and passageways. Its residents are mostly poor working people, and its slums are a refuge for Saigon's hoodlum and criminal elements. Vietnamese Rangers and Marines move carefully, blasting buildings and possible Viet Cong hiding places before moving ahead. This was the first time heavy fighting has taken place in Saigon proper. Until now, most of it has been in the Chinese section of Cho Lan and in the suburbs. The VC were difficult to dislodge. They obviously knew the section well and had built barricades in key spots. The Rangers and Marines took casualties, mostly from hidden snipers. As soon as a section had been cleared, more terror-stricken civilians scurried out of their homes. Thousands of them fleeing from the bullets and explosives, and even more dangerous, a fire that began to rage out of control. Residents in nearby buildings began dragging their most precious possessions out of their shops and homes. Saigon's water supply system is operating only at 70% of normal, so fires are a serious menace. For these people, many of them who fled the war from outlying villages, this is the cruelest blow. The curfew has kept them from making a living. Food prices have tripled since the fighting began a week ago. And now, their homes are being destroyed.
Thousands of people were killed in the Tet Offensive. The communists suffered heavier losses than the South Vietnamese or the Americans. But many Americans were surprised that the communists could launch such a major attack against South Vietnam. For several years, they had been told that communist forces were small and losing badly. General William Westmoreland, commander of U.S. military operations in Vietnam, spoke with reporter George Sievertson.
General, how would you assess yesterday's activities and today's? What is the enemy doing? Are these major attacks or...
The enemy, very deceitfully, has taken advantage of the Tet Truce in order to create maximum consternation within South Vietnam, particularly in the populated areas. Now, yesterday, the enemy exposed himself by virtue of this strategy, and he suffered great casualties.
As a result of the offensive, popular support for the administration fell even more. Democrats who opposed President Johnson seized this chance. Several ran against him for the party's nomination in 1968. These included Senator Robert Kennedy of New York and Senator Eugene McCarthy of Minnesota. Kennedy and McCarthy did well in the early primary elections. Johnson did poorly. At the end of March 1968, the president spoke to the American people. He discussed his proposal to end American bombing of North Vietnam. He talked about his appointment of a special ambassador to start peace negotiations. And he announced his decision about his own future.
I do not believe that I should devote an hour or a day of my time to any personal partisan causes or to any duties other than the awesome duties of this office, the presidency of your country. Accordingly, I shall not seek and I will not accept the nomination of my party for another term as your president.
Another major issue facing America in the 1960s was the civil rights movement, which sought to ensure equal rights for black Americans.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.